Exciting time to learn about God's heart for the nations and the way that God is working by sending international students to the United States. Sometimes people ask me, Rich, are you seeing many international students come to Christ? And I'll say, well, I don't know what many means, but I do know this, that God's means of impacting nations is not through the many, but through the few. Those that have fully dedicated them to themselves to Jesus and are responsive to the call on their lives. And so that's why I'm urging you, when you consider a response to what you're hearing, to adopt one or two international students. You don't have to do something great or something big, but if every international student coming to the United States had the opportunity to hear the gospel, and if all of those that came to Christ were discipled, there would be a tremendous movement among the nations, because God has chosen vessels. He has the future Apostle Pauls in our midst. And I want to give you a little picture of that by sharing with you stories of God, of those through whom God is working, former international students. I want you to see that intended outcome of God working among the nations through international students. So let me start off by showing you this very short video about a former international student who came from Korea as a Buddhist and what God did through his life. Let's show that video.
1950, Korean War started. Not knowing that North Korea will invade South Korea. My city was destroyed 90%. My school was bombed. There was no school for me to attend. I told people many, many times the best thing ever happened during the Korean War. They bombed my school and all my record was burned. I came here in 1951. Everybody spoke English. Nobody spoke Korean. I got so homesick. I wish I never left the home. And one day, young college ministerial student came to my dormitory room. He opened John 3:16, for God so loved the world, beginning to explain the love of Jesus Christ. I asked him, if I accept Christ, would he take away my homesickness? He said, not only take away your homesickness, he give you purpose in life. He give you joy, he give you happiness. I said, yes, I want to accept Christ as my Savior. Well, make a long story short, I want to study political science, go back to Korea, become a politician. One day God said, well, you have so many politicians in your country, they don't need you, but I need you to go back to tell your family about the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
God sent his son to rescue the world. In spite of our rebellion, in spite of our sin, God said, I love you. I love the human race. I want to forgive them of their sin. But how could God do it? He came to die. Because on the cross, he took your sins, your death, your judgment, your hell. And he loved you so much that if you had been the only person in the world, he would have died for you. Greater love hath no man than
that. That translation was almost melodic. It was so beautiful the way Billy Kim translated for Billy Graham. And that was a significant turning point in the history of Christianity in Korea through one international student who was touched for Christ. There are many other students. This was taken a while ago. I looked a little bit younger here, but this is my friend who comes from Japan, Toshi. And Toshi came to study in the United States, typical of many Japanese. He had grown up his entire life having never met a Christian in his country, never having seen a church building in his city, never having heard the gospel. And he came to study in the United States. I had a chance to meet him. He came to hear on Easter the Jesus film in Japanese. He was so curious that he came. And after that, we began to study the Bible together. And Toshi eventually made the decision to follow Christ. And as soon as he came to know Christ, he wanted to let other Japanese know about Christ. And so he began to prepare himself to go back to Japan. And he got his degree, a master's degree in teaching English as a second language. And we prayed, what could he do to advance the gospel in Japan? And he got a plan. He went back and started offering tutoring lessons. He could have gotten a good teaching position, but he instead started tutoring people at a much cheaper rate than most tutors. And people were really attracted. Here's this master's degree graduate from an American university willing to tutor me in English personally. But he said, this is the way I have the freedom to share the gospel. And so he would share the gospel, and he was so effective in sharing the gospel. He'd win people to Christ, and then he'd bring friends and family together, and he'd form a little house church, and he'd spend some time with them, and then he'd go to another section of the city, and he'd put up posters again and start doing it again, and he'd get new people to tutor, and he'd win them to Christ and bring them together. And when I met him at this time in this picture, he had started 70 home churches in Japan, one of the least evangelized nations in the world. I'll tell you, when God gets a hold of an international student and they go home with a calling and a vision from God, they can impact many people's lives. Let me tell you about Bok Sing. Bok Sing came to Canada as an international student. He wasn't part of our ministry, but he came to Christ there. Interesting story. He was so lonely in Canada. And one day he heard a man singing at the YMCA in the shower. And he went to that man. He said, sir, you seem to be so happy. Why are you so happy? He said, how can I not be happy when Jesus Christ died for my sins? That's a good response. And the man began to share Christ with him and gave him his Bible. And Bok Sing became a Christian. And he moved in with the Haywards, who lived with him and discipled him. Bok Sing said those dinner conversations around the table where he could ask questions about the Bible became significant times in his life. And he returned to India. His family met him. His father, this is typical of many international students, his father said, son, it's okay that you've become a Christian, but you mustn't let anyone in our family know. You mustn't talk about it. Just keep it to yourself. And Bok Sing said, no, I've come home to tell people about Jesus. And then his father said, well, if that's the case, then you can no longer stay at home and be part of our family. And Bok Sing gave his family the money that he had from the United States and trusted God. And through his ministry, there were 10,000 churches that were planted in India, one of the greatest church planting movements in Indian history. I think about my friend here who came to Columbus, Ohio to study from Sudan. He had actually become a Christian in Sudan. At the time of his conversion, it was against the law to become a Christian under the penalty of imprisonment or death. And so when he had the opportunity to come to the United States to study, he was so glad to leave Sudan to experience the freedom in the United States. And I was so glad when I had time with him, we began to study the Bible together. And in fact, you know, there are two former international students in this room. Did you know that? Who are at Gull Lake Conference this week, who are part of IFI's ministry. One is my friend Christian Erison, who was originally from Iceland. He's here, and wave your hand. And if you didn't get a chance to meet him, he'd be a great guy, and him and his family to meet. And then there's Herti Hanegar. Herti came from Indonesia as an international student, and she came to Christ in our ministry. And I believe, weren't you in the same discipleship group as Yasser? So she was in the group with this guy. And we were studying, one of the first verses we memorized was Luke 9:23, which says, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And when we were discussing that verse, I said to Yasser, Yasser, what does this verse mean to you? What would it mean for you to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Christ? He said, for me, that would mean going back to Sudan. And I said, well, is that what you think God is telling you to do? He said, yes. But he was afraid. He said, I know the risk for me to go back to Sudan is to possibly still face that imprisonment or death. And he was so honest. He said, you know, I'm not afraid of suffering. I'm not afraid of dying for Christ. I'm just afraid of suffering for Christ. He said, if they put me to death right away, it's fine. He said, but if they torture me, I don't know if I can handle that. So how do you prepare for that, right? I mean, one of the things we said was, okay, this is teach you some of my discipleship. So I said, Yasser, what we need to do is we need to take whatever fears you have and face them and see how God can help you overcome your fears. So I said, what's another fear you have besides of being tortured? He said, I'm afraid of heights. I said, okay, well, let's go to the amusement park and go down the high thing. So that's what we did. We went to the amusement park. We went on the log plume and got to the top. And I said, okay, sir. He said, I'm not getting on this. I said, all right, well, let's pray and ask God to help you overcome your fear right now. Because I'm not asking for the fear to go away. We're just asking for the courage that you can overcome your fears. And so we prayed, and he got on that plume ride and screamed all the way down. I mean, it was a hilarious scream, right? People at the bottom there thought, well, some kid is coming down the plume ride, but no, it was Yasser. And God trained him uniquely. Before he went back to the Sudan, he went to Cuba and ended up in prison in Cuba. And when he came out of prison, I asked him, so what did you do? You know, it was one of those situations, too, where I couldn't do anything to help him. But when he came out, he said, I witnessed to the jailer. I witnessed to the other prisoners, and I said, well, Yasser, God has shown you that he can preserve you no matter what situation you're in. So he went back to Sudan, and when he went back to Sudan, God gave him a vision to build a Christian school as a means of serving his community, and there was many refugees in internally displaced people in Sudan, and I got to visit the school, and these many Muslim children were able to learn about Jesus in this school. And then he began to plant churches in Sudan. And this is some of the pictures of the churches that have started. During COVID, they began to minister in a flood zone where there was great flooding. As a result of that, this church was born. And since his return to Sudan, there are 9 churches that have been planted among Muslims in Sudan. It's just a wonderful work of God. And I'm telling you, it's because of dedicated international students who get a calling from God to return to their countries and do the things that you and I probably could not do. I mean, maybe God could do that through us, but because he knows the culture and the people and he's got a story to tell, he's very effective. It's a beautiful thing. This story here is of a woman that I got to meet with him when I went to visit him in Sudan, a widow who was very destitute. And because they also do a ministry to widows, this woman was helped. She heard the gospel and she came to Christ. And that's the type of work that is going on. So God wants to do wonderful things through international students, but it requires them to hear the gospel, to be discipled, and then be prepared to return. And I'm just urging you to again consider the possibility of befriending 1 or 2 international students. I know many of you have told me that God has spoken to you in some way, that you love to hear about this ministry. And you know, when we talked this morning about the home being a center for ministry, that's why hospitality is so critical, because it's your home that is the revelation of Christ and the love of God to international students. So I, we got one more day left together. If you didn't pick up one of these brochures by the table, go by the table, or I brought some extras here. If you have questions, come and talk to me. If you're, again, prompted by the Lord to think about, well, maybe, you know, I'm going to be have enough time. God is giving me some prompting to start a ministry to international students, then we really want to come alongside of you. So whatever God shows you to do, say yes. And we'll partner with you in that. And it's been a joy, really, to be with you this week. Thank you for all of you who've come to me and spoken with me and interacted with me. I really love to be at Gull Lake. I love the time together. And I thank you for your interest and attention about our ministry. Please pray for us.